गौरपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीश्रीमद्भक्ति प्रज्ञान केशव इति नामिने अतिमात्र चरित्राय स्वासितानां च पालिने जीव दुखे सदाताय नाम प्रेम प्रदायिने गुरवे गौरचंद्राय राधिकाय तदाने कृष्णाय कृष्ण भक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो My heartly obeisances in the lotus feet of my spiritual master Om Vishnupad Stotra Srimad Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj and my Siksha Guru Nitya Lila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Stotra Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj. In ancient time, about 5,000 years before, all the saintly persons, realized souls, rishis and muni were gathered in Naimisharanya. They were very worried that the iron age, Kali Yuga, is coming. Everything will be upset. Men, they will give up their religion, ladies also, always divorce, so many problems will come. So they were thinking, what to do? In the same time, Suta Goswami, the disciple of Sukadeva, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, he came there and then very politely, humbly, they asked a question. Now iron is coming, so many problems will arise. If anyone will want to do bhajan, they cannot do. So many atheists will be in that time. So we ask you, you are very qualified and learned person. You should say how our soul will be happy. There was no question that I will be happy, my body will be happy. The question was, really, in this body we are so, body is mortal. Today, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, it will be old and it will give up this body. So, you should tell us, how soul will be happy forever. And then Suta Goswami became very happy and then began to answer the question. First of all, he did pranam to his Gurudev, Srila Sukadev Goswami, yam prabhajanta manupetam apeta krityam द्वैपायनो विरहदातर आयुधावो पुत्रेति तन्मयतया तर्वोभिनेदु तं सर्वभूत हृदयं मुनिमा. And then he, after doing pranam, he told, really, the transcendental religion of whole universe, all the life beings, to do bhajan of Krishna, and that bhajan will be selfless, only to praise Supreme Lord Krishna. In other ways, it has been told by Srila Rupa Goswami, Anna Vilasita Sunyam Gyan Karma Dhyana Vritam Anukillena Krishnam Silalam Bhakti Uttama.
You should explain in brief.
Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha. I offer my unlimited obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Pariyurakacharya Ashtapitapra Sri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Sivanarayana Goswami Maharaj. Same unlimited obeisances unto all the Vaishnavacharyas in our disciplic line. Also, I offer my humble obeisances unto all the guests, all the Tridandi, Bhikshu, Sannyasis, aunties, uncles, brothers, god sisters, guests, and everyone who has come here today. Srila Gurudev requested, ordered me to explain in brief what is the meaning of pure, unconditional, devotional service. Anya vilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anabhitam anukulyena krishna anusilanam bhaktir uttamam. What is bhaktir uttama? What is the highest, most purest form of religion, devotion? The definition has been given by Sri Rupa Goswami Pad that the highest form of devotion, the perfection of devotion, is the continuous, unbroken, endeavors of the mind, the body, the tongue, the heart, emotions. In other words, all our energy, we engage in that very object, which is Sri Krishna, to please Him. However, we have not so much, we do not really know who is Krishna. We have heard about Krishna. So therefore, we have to understand from Shastra and from Sadhu, especially from Sri Guru, who we should apply this to if we want to perfect our life. Yasya deva para bhakti yata deva tata guru tasya ita katitihi artha prakesham te mahatmana. First of all, Sri Guru, Shakshad Hari, Vena Samasta Sastre, he is the direct manifestation, representative, none different from Sri Hari. So if we apply this Anukulyena Krishna Anusilanam Bhakti Uttama, the uninterrupted, constant endeavor of all our energy, what we have, in the service of Sri Guru, with the aim and desire to please Him, that is the perfection of bhakti or pure religion. So this is the intrinsic value or mood that we should always, first of all, remember if we want to practice this process correctly of pure bhakti. The secondary symptoms of this process of pure bhakti, this engagement, that is defined in the beginning of this definition. Anya vilasita sunyam jnana karmani anavritam. All these endeavors which we engage in, they should be not covered by any worldly desires, selfishness, any desire for that knowledge, which is not favorable to develop bhakti for Sri Guru, Sri Krishna. In other words, we can cultivate so much knowledge in our life, but if it is not favorable for rendering pure devotional services, we should avoid it. Otherwise, our bhakti, our endeavors will become covered. Moreover, the desire, the endeavor to perform fruitive activities for ourselves, they should be left completely. Otherwise, it will cover our bhakti. We cannot abstain from performing activities to maintain this body. So some activity should be there, but it should never ever cover our desire and our endeavors to render pure services in order to please Sri Guru and Sri Krishna. So anyadi lasita sunyam dhyana karnari anamritam. If we reflect day after day, what we are doing, how we are progressing, then we can use always this definition. And we will see, if we are realistic, that I am far from pure devotional service. But by the mercy of Sri Guru, he is so kind to me, so merciful. And Vaishnavas, they are so kind. They always accept me, whether I am full of faults. I do so many things wrong. So by their mercy, every day I see a little progress. Still, so far to go, so that we always stay in their company and try to somehow or other assist them. Then one day, I will be able to really perfectly engage in Uttama Bhakti, pure devotional service.
So without pure bhakti, anyone cannot be happy. Soul will not be happy. Those who don't worship, do bhakti of Krishna, they cannot be happy at any time. Like a business, some persons, they do bhakti to Krishna and ask something. That is called Anna Vilasa. So don't want anything against this bhakti. Then surely, one day, in one life, two life, you must be happy. If anyone is chanting, remembering, worshipping Krishna, his soul must be happy. And then telling this, Sut Goswami began to tell about the glory of Guru. And he gave an example of Nardarishi and Vyas Dev, who is the incarnation of Krishna, Supreme Lord. You can.
Being given, this is the method which is prescribed in the Srimad Bhagavatam from beginning to end. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is also giving many, many examples of how there were so many personalities, very, very great personalities, who attained the highest perfection of life by practicing this imperishable, eternal path of Bhakti Yoga. So, in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a narration wherein the author of the Srimad Bhagavatam, who is named Sri Krishna Dvaipayana Vedavyas, some just in short, Srila Vyas Dev. Tomorrow is the Vyas Puja Day, in which the representative of Srila Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedic literatures, is honored. And this festival is the Vyas Puja Festival of our beloved Gurudev, Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. So, we will hear so much about Srila Vyasadeva and the meaning of his name tomorrow. So, and that's at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. So, Srila Vyasadeva, he had compiled the Vedic literatures. He actually compiled the four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva Veda. He divided the one original Veda into these four. And then he also wrote the Upanishads, the philosophical portions of the Vedas. He also then wrote the Puranas, 18 Puranas, and gave so many examples of how the living beings within this world can go on the spiritual pathway to attain spiritual perfection in their lives. But as he saw that the Kali Yuga, this current age of quarrel and hypocrisy, was approaching, this was about 5,000 years ago, he saw that in this age of Kali, the people would have very short lives. They would be very misguided by so many different philosophical misconceptions, and their intelligence and many other qualities would be greatly reduced in the Kali Yuga. So Srila Vyasadeva, then he compiled the great scripture known as the Mahabharata. So in the Mahabharata, he also included great histories of great kingly dynasties on our planet. Actually, this book, Mahabharata, is well known all throughout the world, and in this part of the world as well. And these histories describe the dynasties that were existing on our planet 5,000 years ago. But there is also so much spiritual, philosophical instruction given there. So Srila Vyasadeva completed these Vedic scriptures, and he was living in the Himalayan mountains, in Badrika Ashram, Samyapras. And in that very beautiful place, surrounded by beautiful mountains and forests and sacred river, Saraswati, is flowing there. So Srila Vyasadeva one day was sitting there and contemplating what he had accomplished in writing all of these Vedic literatures. But he felt within himself that he was not satisfied. He then began to contemplate the reason for this, that I have compiled all these Vedic literatures. I have prescribed the method by which the living beings within this world can get free from this endless cycle of birth and death. And I have described how they can achieve the benefits within this world called the Chaturvarg, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. The religiosity, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and ultimately moksha, liberation. But Srila Vyasadeva, in contemplating, he was wondering, why am I not satisfied? I should be satisfied, because I have accomplished this great task. So he could not detect the actual cause of his dilemma. And then at that time, the very, very great and powerful sage named Sri Narada Rishi, Narada Muni, who is the guru of Srila Vyasadeva, he now appeared coming down from the sky region, by his musical instrument, the Veena. Throughout all the Vedas, Srila Narada Muni is very well known because he is the guru of many, many great saintly persons. So he is also the guru of Srila Veda Vyas himself. So now, when Narada Rishi came down into his ashram, Srila Vyasadeva was so overjoyed to see his guru, and he began to pay his pranams to his guru, provide him a very wonderful sitting place there. And at that time, Sri Narada Rishi was sitting, and he had a smile on his face. And he said to his disciple, Sri Veda Vyas, "Oh, my dear Prabhu, are you satisfied by identifying this temporary body with the eternal soul?" In other words, what Narada Rishi was doing was he was beginning to point out that Srila Veda Vyas had made a mistake in the way in which he had compiled the Vedic literatures from the viewpoint that he emphasized the material accomplishments of the temporary physical world and the material bodies within this world. And he did not emphasize enough the transcendental reality. So then, Narada Muni, because he is Guru, and Guru is a perfected living being who knows all knowledge perfectly. If someone is actually Guru, they have to have full, perfect comprehension of all spiritual truth and wisdom. So even though Veda Vyas was such an exalted personality, still he was not able to quite determine the cause of his dissatisfaction. Now Narada Rishi was beginning to point that out to him. And then he began to question Veda Vyas, that, "Oh, you have compiled all these literatures, but have you properly glorified the Supreme Absolute Truth who has descended into this world and performed miraculous superhuman activities in the form of his divine incarnations? And have you especially glorified his incarnations in the form of Sri Krishna when he appeared in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago? And at that time he sported as if he was a human being of this world, but he performed such sweet transcendental pastimes, although he is the supreme Bhagavan, controller, and absolute personality of the entire creation. And have you especially pointed out how this supremely powerful personality of Godhead comes into this world, and he becomes the little son of his mother, and out of affection, his mother binds him with ropes, and sometimes even chastises him. Have you shown this in your writings? And have you shown how his friends will play with him, like two friends are playing with one another, and they'll climb on his shoulders, thinking that he's equal to them, although he's the supreme Bhagavan? And have you described how his dearly beloved, the sweethearts, the Brajagopis, how they will also sometimes chastise him? Oh, you have not described in this way the extent, the full extent, of the glories, of the pastimes, the leelas, the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who descends into this world to exhibit these pastimes for the benefit of all the fallen souls. So this is the reason for your dissatisfaction." And when Srila Vyasadeva heard this pointed out by Sri Narada Rishi, oh, now he began to understand, yes, actually this is a fact. I have not specifically pointed this out. And at that time, Sri Narada Rishi began to explain that only by this glorification and by hearing the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord from the lips of realized souls can this realization come to the conditioned souls of this world, and they can overcome this hurdle of birth, death, disease, and old age, and they can obtain their eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord in the spiritual realm only by this process. And then Sri Narada Rishi mentioned to Vyasadeva that I myself am a living example of this, because when I was in my previous life, before this life, I was born as the son of an ordinary lady who was a maidservant and a cleaner in an ashram. And when I was a little boy, at that time living there, now I had a very, very great opportunity in my life. You see, Sri Guru, he will sometimes tell to his disciples examples of his own life. Because Sri Guru comes into this world to show us the pathway that we can follow in our own lives to attain perfection. So when he sees that there is a sincere disciple, sometimes he may reveal some truths about his own life or past life. So Narada Rishi was beginning to tell the story to Srila Vyasadeva. And Srila Vyasadeva was very anxious to hear this story from Sri Narada Muni. So Narada Rishi explained that in my previous life, when I was a very young boy, and I was a very simple birth, nothing elevated in society, I was only the son of an ordinary cleaning lady. And my mother was so affectionate to me, because I was all that she had in this world. So she used to bind me with so much affection. And during my childhood, when I was about 5 years old, I was staying in an ashram with my mother. And there were four very great spiritual personalities, rishis, great saints, who came there to reside in that very place during the 4 months of the rainy season. And they stayed there all during that time. And I began to associate with them because they would sit together and they would discuss these wonderful activities, transcendental topics of the Supreme Lord, Adhoksaja, who is in the transcendental realm, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And I used to sit and associate with them, and I used to hear these divine topics with such attraction. And as I associated with them more and more, my attraction grew more and more and more. Just by hearing from them, my heart started to become purified. And these sages, they saw that I was not like other young boys, always anxious to play frivolously and waste my time, but I was very calm and very quiet and very controlled. So these sages became very affectionate towards me. And now they began to bless me with their mercy. They bestowed their mercy upon me. And in the course of my association with them, they gave me the opportunity one day, by their permission, to take the remnants of their food after they had eaten. And this transcendental substance, this uchista lepan, this wonderful food that has been touched by the lips of such exalted personalities, it has a transcendentally powerful effect. And when I ate these few remnants, immediately I began to feel purified from all the lower modes of nature, which caused one to become lusty and angry and greedy within this world. And my heart became purified, and now their divine personalities became so attractive to me. And in this way, I passed my time in their association. After the 4 months of the rainy season was finished, now these four sages, they left that place. And I was left in the hands of my mother, who was my only guardian within this world. But then one day, my mother, who went out into the nearby forest to collect some firewood, she was bitten by a poisonous snake and she died. But when I heard this news, I began to understand by the instructions of the great sages that this was an arrangement of the Supreme Lord who controls everything. For my benefit, he had arranged this circumstance. And now, taking shelter of the Lord within my heart, and taking the instructions of these divine sages, I left that place, and I began to travel to the northern direction. And I traveled through so many forests and so many different places. And finally, I arrived at a very secluded place in a forest grove. And at that time, I sat down in that place, remembering the instructions of these great sages who had taught me the process of bhakti yoga, by which I can focus my full attention, my heart, mind, and soul, on the Lord who is residing within my heart. And now I sat and fully engaged all of my attention in this meditation. And at that time, my limbs became overwhelmed by divine ecstasy, because this is a transformation process. When one reaches a stage of spiritual perfection, then divine spiritual ecstasies manifest within the body. And Narada Muni explained that this happened to me as I was performing this meditation. And then when I became so overwhelmed in this mood and tears were flowing from my eyes, at that very moment, the Supreme Lord Himself, Bhagavan, Sri Vishnu, He appeared on the lotus of my heart, and I had His darshan. And at that time I became completely absorbed in His divine beauty, and I lost all consciousness of everything else. And when I was absorbed in the meditation upon His beautiful form, then in a few moments, now His form suddenly vanished. And at that moment I felt like I had just lost the most valuable thing that I had ever gained in my whole life. And I felt great anxiety. And again, I sat down in the same process of meditation, attempting to again have this experience. And I tried, but it was not happening again. And now I felt so much deep, deep lamentation. But at that time, out of His compassion, the Supreme Lord Himself spoke to me. I heard His voice. And He told to me, "My dear Narada, it is not possible for someone who has not fully purified himself by the process of bhakti yoga, who has not overcome all contaminations of the heart, to actually have this experience of my having my darshan, seeing me directly. Only I have given you a special mercy just to increase your desire to one day again see me. So now during this life, you should spend your whole life hearing and chanting about me, and you should purify your heart, and then in the future, again very soon, you will be able to be united with me." And then the voice who was speaking disappeared. Now Narada Muni fell to the ground with tears in his eyes and a deep, deep mood of gratitude to the Supreme Lord who is so, so merciful to the souls of this world. And now Narada Rishi described to Vyas, "At that time, as a young boy, I went traveling everywhere for my whole duration of my life, hearing and chanting and remembering the glories of Sri Krishna's name, form, qualities and pastimes. And I spent my life in this way, and when my heart was completely purified of all material desires and contaminations and attachments, and I was fully attracted to the Supreme Lord, then my end of my life came. And in my next life, I appeared in this form of Narada, as you see now, and I was given a beautiful stringed instrument called Veena, and this was given to me by Bhagavan himself, and now I travel everywhere throughout the whole creation, constantly singing, chanting, and remembering the glories of Sri Krishna." So Narada Rishi explained like this to Veda Vyas, and he gave him this instruction that you should absorb yourself in this process of bhakti yoga, and then you should glorify Sri Krishna in His divine transcendental pastimes. And then at that time, Narada Rishi finished his instructions to Vyas, and he left that place into the airways. Now, Sri Vyasadeva, with great happiness, he sat and purified himself by taking water from the river Saraswati, and he sat in complete meditation of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak samihite amale apashyat purusham purnam maya chatat apashrayam. So now Srila Vyasadeva, by the complete absorption in bhakti yoga, he was able to actually see, to have the divine vision of the Apashya Purusham Purnam. That means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the complete absolute truth. And he saw that absolute truth, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, with all of his energies accompanying him, both his transcendental spiritual energy and his Maya potency, the illusory potency of this world, in which all the jivas are covered by ignorance. Anarto upasamam sakshat bhakti yoga mahoksa jay. And then at that time, he understood that all the anartas, the unwanted things that keep the living beings separate from the Lord within this world, they can be completely mitigated by this process of pure bhakti yoga. So in order to benedict all the living beings of this world with this pure transcendental divine message of the pastimes of Krishna, Srila Vyasadeva, Chakre Samhita Sattvata Samhitam, he composed this Srimad Bhagavatam that we are now going to have the opportunity to hear in so many different sections of the Bhagavatam from our Gurudev and all the speakers here. So our Gurudev, he has pointed out to us that this Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the highest and final literature of Srimad Vyasadeva. If anyone hears and chants and remembers the topics of this Srimad Bhagavatam, and they take shelter of the person Bhagavatam, that means the pure devotee who is fully living the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, and they serve these two manifestations of the Lord in book form and in the form of a pure devotee, then their hearts will become completely purified, and they eventually will attain the same destination of Sri Narada Rishi. So the lesson to learn from the story of Narada is that by the association of pure devotees, by pleasing them, by following their instructions, even if we come from any ordinary background of this world, by the pure process of bhakti yoga, we can attain the highest perfection in our life. So in this way, Srila Vyasadeva wrote the king of all Vedic Shastras, Srimad Bhagavatam.
So we see by Srimad Bhagavatam, everywhere glorification of only bhakti and bhakta, both everywhere. And in Srimad Bhagavatam has been written, without the process, following the process of bhakti, anyone cannot be happy in their life. This bhakti has been divided by Sanatana Goswami three classes, three
stages.
Jnani Bhakta,
five.
Jnani Bhakta, Shuddha Bhakta, Premi Bhakta, Prem Bhakta, Prematur Bhakta. Gopis are limited beyond this limit. Who are Jnani Bhakta? Prahlad Maharaj. Jnani, Nirvishesh Bhagi, and Tattva Jnani are different. Here Tattva Jnani. Prahlad Maharaj, in whole world he see Krishna. And in Krishna whole world, he is Samadarshi. All good qualities in him. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj Upakhyan is told, if anyone wants to begin bhakti, he must follow Prahlad Charitra. And second, Ambarish Maharaj Shuddha Bhakta, we will explain. Third, Premi Bhakta Hanuman, Prempar Bhakta Pandavas, and
Prematur
Uddhav. One thing also, mixture of bhakti and karma, mixture of bhakti and jnana, mixture of bhakti and yoga, they are not pure bhakti. Among them, karma mishra bhakta is dhruva. he will explain about Dhruva. We should try to think why Dhruva is not called Shuddha Pure Bhakta. If you have any worldly desire of heaven, mukti, then you are not pure bhakta. Krishna cannot be happy by that. In brief,
Om Agyana Virundasya Gyananjana Savakaya Chakshuram Nivitanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I offer my most humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of my Dishu Guru. Paramaradya Parampurya Padasi Simadi Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And then again, unto the lotus feet of my Shiksha Guru and Sannyas Guru, Sri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Narayana Goswami Maharaj. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Chidandi Sannyasi Gan, unto all of the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, Bhagavad Pranam. So, Dhruva Maharaj's story in 4th canto, 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dhruva is the son of Uttanapada and grandson of Swayambhu Manu and great-grandson of Lord Brahma. King Uttanapada had two wives, Suniti and Suruchi. Of the two, Suruchi was his favorite. He had more affection for her. And she had one son, Uttan. So one day in the court, while King Uttanapada was sitting there on the throne, Uttan and Dhruva were trying to sit up in the lap of King Uttanapada. And Suruchi was looking on at the scene. And Uttan got up on his lap, and Dhruva was trying to get there, but he was not being given much assistance by the king and could not reach. Then Suruchi began to speak very harsh words to him, that you cannot sit on the lap of the king because you have not been born from my womb. And if you want to sit on the lap of the king, you will have to perform tapasya, austerities, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then take birth again and come from my womb. Then you can sit on the lap of your father and on the throne. So like this, she spoke in a very harsh and mean way, but she also gave some very good instruction. When Dhruva heard these statements, he felt like he was a snake who had been hit by a stick, and he began to sigh very heavily. He ran to his mother with tears in his eyes, and his mother Suniti, hearing from all of the court people, could understand all the words that had been said by Suruchi, and she was very upset as well. But she never said anything to condemn Suruchi. In fact, she told Dhruva, do not have any anger or wish any ill to Suruchi or any other person, because it will come back to you. And you should take that the teachings that Suruchi has given are very valuable, that you should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead to get whatever it is that you want. She has described correctly that I am not even considered a maidservant of your father, and I am a lowly person. So she explained like this, there is no good qualities in me, and there are so many good qualities in her. So in this way, she had the vision of a Vaishnavi and instructed her son that if you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you will get what you want. Even if you have desires, as it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, kamo sava kamo va, moksha kamo vadadati, tivrena bhakti yogena, yajeta purushampa. So in this way, she instructed him, even though you have a material desire, you should understand that the goddess of fortune, even when your grandfather, Lord, great-grandfather, Lord Brahma, wants the favor of the goddess of fortune, he cannot get it because she is always engaged in the service of Vishnu. So if you want the favor of the goddess of fortune to get this kingdom greater than your father, greater than your grandfather, you will have to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, immediately, taking the instructions of his mother to worship the Supreme Lord, he left the palace, gave up everything,
and went to the forest. It is stated here that Narada Muni overheard the conversation. And this is the power of such great pure devotees. Just as in the last story that was being explained by Padmanabha Maharaj, that we see that Narada Muni, he can hear and understand these things even from a great distance. Just as it's explained in the 11th canto that all the mystic potencies that are given to mystic yogis, being able to enter into the ether and hear the conversations of people everywhere, being able to enter into people's minds and understand their thoughts. If a common mystic yogi can have these, they become the maidservants of a pure devotee, and a pure devotee like Narada or anyone in our disciplic succession can antachara, enter into the chambers of the heart and understand the desires of the living entity. So, overhearing this conversation, just like the super soul, Narada Muni came to try and give some valuable instruction to Dhruva and give him some direction. When Narada Muni came there, at first, he tested Dhruva. And he tried to dissuade him. You're a young boy. You're supposed to be playing now. You're supposed to be having fun. You are not fit to stay in the forest. You are not capable of doing this. These austerities are very severe. You should not be doing like this. Wait till you grow older. Wait till you have some life, some experience. You have done things, huh? Dharma, artha, kama, do all this first, then look for these other things. But after Dhruva heard all these instructions from Narada, he told, no, I cannot accept your words. Because of my anger, because of my ignorance, I cannot accept your valuable instructions. I want Krishna now. I want my kingdom now. So, seeing the determination of Dhruva, Narada took mercy upon him. And he began to instruct him in the process of devotional service. And he gave him all shiksha and diksha. He gave him instructions about how to perform puja, where to perform puja, how to perform meditation, how to, and he also gave him the diksha mantra. He gave him a complete description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how he should meditate on the Lord from the lotus feet to the smiling face. And by giving him the Diksha Mantra, he initiated him into the Sampradaya. So after giving him Shiksha and Diksha, all information, Abhideya, Prayojan, all information was given, then he instructed him that you must go to Madhuvan Forest and perform your worship there, and then you will get everything that you want. So, Dhruva Maharaj immediately accepted all of the instructions of Narada Muni to do the worship. He immediately went to Madhavan Forest. He immediately started performing the worship as it was instructed by Narada Muni. He immediately began the meditation and the practices of bhakti as it was described by Narada Muni. Therefore, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says in the purport, that this was the success of Dhruva Maharaj. That he completely accepted the orders of the Guru. He was completely anugatya. Whatever the Guru instructed, he did without fail, without deviation, without change. This became his saving grace. Didn't matter how much tapasya or austerity he performed. What actually was the real medicine that gave him the benediction of Krishna's darshan and Krishna's mercy was that he followed the orders of the Guru. So in the first month when he was there in Madhuvan, he only ate fruits and berries every 3 days. In the second month, then he ate fruit, dry grass and leaves every 6 days. In the third month, he drank some water every 9 days. In the fourth month, he breathed air once every 12 days. In the fifth month, he achieved such a perfection of steadiness of mind and breath that he was able to perform the austerity of standing on one foot. He placed the one foot like this, and then standing like this, and he began his meditation in this position. And then in the sixth month, he became so perfect at controlling his breath that he was able to see and controlling his mind and controlling everything, he was able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart. Then, becoming one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead became as heavy as Vishnu. Becoming as heavy as Vishnu and controlling his breath breath in this way and not even breathing, he started to choke up the breath of the entire universe. By moving his toe, he was able to push down the weight of the earth. So powerful, because he had become one in harmony with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the Three Worlds. At that point, when he was choking up the breathing of the entire universe, the demigods all pleaded with Lord Vishnu that he please resolve this issue. Why none of us can breathe? At that time, Vishnu said, "Don't worry, this young boy, he has done very severe tapasya for me. I'm going to deal with it now." Then Vishnu descended on the bird carrier Garuda. He appeared there before Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva Maharaj did not see him. He was looking at Krishna within his heart, meditating on the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was in complete unison with Krishna, and then suddenly the form disappeared. Then he snapped out of his meditation and opened his eyes, and there, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was standing before him. In great ecstasy, he fell like a stick, boom, falling at the feet of the Supreme Lord, grabbing the feet of the Lord and kissing them and embracing them with his arms and weeping and washing them with his tears. He exhibited all of the different ecstatic symptoms of love of God. And then he wanted to make prayers to the Supreme Lord, and he stood there trembling with folded hands, but he could not express himself. Then Vishnu took the conch shell and, touching his forehead, enlightened him completely in all Vedic knowledge, and he began to recite so many beautiful prayers in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that point, he also expressed at the end of his prayers his great lamentation that, in worshipping you, I was looking for some broken pieces of glass, and I overlooked the transcendental divine gem of your beautiful lotus feet. He said, "I am lamenting so much. Now you have benedicted me. You have offered me this benediction. And now you are going to give me a planet. You're going to give me a kingdom greater even than my great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. You're going to give me this pole star, which is above the Saptarishi, the seven planets of the Saptarishis. It is so high that in the temporary devastation of the universe, this does not become devastated, that this planet remains eternal. In fact, it is the planet that you reside on in the ocean of milk. And in fact, no one has ever been the presiding king of that planet. And you have given me this, but now I will have to stay here for thousands and thousands of years. And I am lamenting my sad condition, that because I worshipped you with some desires, sakam, that now I am still stuck here in this material world, and I have not been able to engage in your devotional service purely." So he lamented like this. Therefore, one has to be very careful when they practice devotional service not to have any desires, no karma, no jnana, no yoga, nothing. As that verse was explained by Radhanath Prabhu, Anyabhilashita shunya, devoid of karma, jnana, karma, jnana karma adi, anavritam, jnana karma adi, karma yoga, jnana yoga, and astanga yoga or mystic yoga. All of these things must be gone, shunya, devoid. If you want pure bhakti, then you have to cultivate it. Anushilanam, it must be consistently and constantly cultivated under anu. Anu means anugatya, under the guidance of the sadhu, the pure devotee, who gives the instructions, the shiksha and the diksha. And following those instructions and purely executing devotional service, one can become completely relieved of all material contaminations and attain the highest goal, the highest platform of the Loka Vrindavan and Braj Rasi praying. So, in the end, of course, after 36,000 years of managing his father's kingdom, then he entered onto the airplane, the great airplane. He left his kingdom, he went to Badrikashram, there meditating. The airplane came from Vaikuntha to take him back to the spiritual world. after circumambulating the airplane and then stepping on the head of death, he marched into the airplane. But then still something was there. He told, oh, my mother, where is my mother? Because she had given him the shiksha, the initial shiksha that he should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that was all being arranged. Another plane was taking his mother. So he attained Vaikuntha, but as Śrīla Gurudeva points out, there was with some material desires. He performed bhakti, and eventually he became a pure bhakta, but there were some material motivations behind it. If one wants to attain the pure bhakti of going to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and Goloka, he must get beyond this kind of practice of devotional service and practice according to the descriptions given by Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī, Ani Vilāśitā Śūnyam Gyāna Karmādi Anāvṛtam. Anupumīyena Śrīlanam Bhavakti Rūtama.
Thank you. In this Annabhilasita shloka, it has not been told Gyan Karma Sunya, only cover. Without karma you cannot
survive
your life. Without knowledge you cannot. So two are essential for our life. But it should not be covered. It is covered by karma which are not favorable for bhakti. Those karma who are favorable for bhakti, they are not avoided, not sunna. And in this way, jnana also, knowledge is also needed. Krishna tattva jnana is knowledge. It must be. But gyan, nirvishesh gyan, maya bhad or dvait bhad, Krishna has no form, God has no form, Brahma has no form, no quality, nothing. This is nirakar, niranjan. So, after Dhruva comes the stage of jnani bhakta. Prahlad Maharaj is Jnani Bhakta. So, you should describe in very brief.
Guruve Gaurachandra Radhikaya Tadale Krishnaya Krishnavaktaya Tadavaktaya Namo Namo. First of all, I give pranams to Sri Gurudev, Vishnupad, Sisimad Bhagavatam, Narayan Goswami Maharaj, Chidani Sannyasis, Brahmacharis, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. Gurudev has ordered me to try to speak something about the glories of Sri Prahlad Maharaj. Sri Prahlad Maharaj is called Jnani Bhakta. Actually, Dhruva, he is not counted amongst these five because he worshipped the Lord with material desires. Therefore, Gurudev said, Dhruva Charitra, he is one example of how not to perform bhakti. Because actually Dhruva could not make his heart one with the instructions of Narad Muni at all. Narad Muni instructed him, you should give up desires for honor and dishonor and just be situated happily. But Dhruva said, I cannot give up my nature. Therefore, please give me some instructions how I can achieve my goal in some honest means. Therefore, Dhruva, he kept some difference between himself and his Gurudev. But Prahlad Maharaj was completely different than this. He had no even touch of material desire. Therefore, he is called Jnani Bhakta. Jnani Bhakta means he has knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he worships him with so much awe and reverence. There is a difference between Jnani and Jnani Bhakta, as Śrīla Gurudev said. Jnanis do not accept the eternal form of the Lord or the position as the Jiva as Bhagavan's eternal servant. But Jnani Bhaktas, like Prahlad, like Grandfather Bhishma, they are devotees. They have no tinge of material desire. Therefore, it's a very great history in the seventh canto. Prahlad, he took birth as the son of the great demon Hiranyakasipu. Therefore, sometimes, like even gold may appear in a dirty place, sometimes Vaishnavas may appear in any dynasty for the purification of that dynasty. Like Hanuman, he appeared in Maki dynasty. Or like demons, like Bali Maharaj, they also appeared like that. Or amongst the bird species, Garuda. That even though Prahlad Maharaj appeared in the family of demons, actually he was pure Vaishnava. So, his father was very much antagonistic towards the Lord. He performed great austerities to please Lord Brahma, to get the shakti that he could kill Lord Vishnu. Actually, his incarnation of Jay and his brother's incarnation of Vijay, who appeared to fulfill the desires of the Lord. But that's a great history in the Bhagavatam. So Prahlad Maharaj, he was very obedient and very humble and very sweet-natured child. His father loved him very much, which turned out to be Hiranyakasipu's saving grace. They were very careful. He sent him to the Gurukul, the two sons of Sri Sukracharya, Sanda and Amarga. And there, they learned all type of materialistic education. So when Sri Prahlad Maharaj returned back from Gurukul, that time his mother washed him, combed him, put him on a nice dress when the boy came home from holidays. And his father, with so much affection, took Prahlad on his lap and sniffed his head, and actually tears of affection were pouring down from the eyes of Hiranyakasipu. Then he asked, "My dear son, tell me, which is the best thing that you learned at school?" So Prahlad Maharaj, he had so many great features, but one of his great features, because he completely knew I am not the body, therefore he had no fear. Prahlad Maharaj was never rude or shout or harsh speaking to his father. "Oh, best of the demons," and Hiranyakasipu became very pleased. "Oh, thank you. The best thing that I learned from my teacher," that time Prahlad Maharaj did not say who is his teacher, but his Gurudev is Sri Narada Muni. Prahlad was 60,000 years in the womb, and he heard all Bhakti Tattva from the mouth of his teacher, Sri Narada. Therefore, Tatsadu Maniya Surya Vaja Dehimam. "Oh, Father, the best thing I learned is that those who consider this body to be the self, they are always engrossed in anxiety, because they are meditating upon that which is temporary. Diya Asatriha. If we meditate on a temporary thing in this world, we'll be in anxiety because one day it's going to leave us, or one day it will leave us, or we will leave it. Therefore, always fear. The one who gives up that dark world of material existence called household life, means material attachment, who gives up everything and takes shelter of the forest of Sri Hari, that person knows. That's the best thing I learned." Which forest that particularly means? Sri Vrindavan or Sri Navadvipa. One who gives up material life and takes one pointed shelter of the Dham, like our Sri Rupan Sanatana Goswamis, that person is the topmost. Guru Maharaj gives an example. There was one man, and he was being chased by a tiger. So he fell down a hole that was a blind well. When a well is abandoned, it becomes covered by grass. It looks very nice, and when you go on it, then you fall down. In the same way we think, "Oh, woman is very nice," and when we go to take shelter of it, then we fall into that deep hole. So that man, he grabbed hold of a branch to save himself from falling to the bottom of the well. And what did he see? At the top was the tiger watching him. He looked down and there were many snakes on the bottom of the well waiting to finish his life. That branch was being chewed by one black mouse and one white mouse. So in such a horrible situation, he noticed on that tree was some bees nest. Honeycomb. So that was dropping and he was tasting that honey and he forgot all about his precarious situation. In the same way, we also, even though the bees were stinging him so much, still he forgot his pain by tasting that happiness. In the same way, we're also in such a dangerous situation. No? Death is up there, death is down. so many miseries in the form of families, friends, enemies giving us so much torture. And that branch represents our lifespan, which every day and night is being taken away from us. But still, when we get a little bit of sensual happiness, that's how we forget our misery. When Prahlad gave those wonderful instructions to Hiranyakasipu, he could not accept it at all. Therefore, he did not take it seriously, because at that time Prahlad Maharaj was only 5 years old. So he laughed, haha, thus the child's intelligence is spoiled by the enemy. But he did not take it very seriously. He called some in the market to be very careful. There must be some Hare Krishnas, some Vaishnavas coming here in disguise. They're giving, polluting this child's intelligence with instructions on Bhagavad Bhakti. Please take care, it does not happen. Sandra Margo, very much astonished, they asked Prahlad, Prahlad, we have never given you instructions on Vishnu Bhakti. Where do you learn all this rubbish from? And Prahlad Maharaj laughed. Really? I have heard of Maya, Vishnu Maya, which makes one think friend and enemy. But now I am experiencing it for the first time. My dear teachers, why am I attracted to Vishnu? I must say, like a magnet, a piece of iron is attracted to the magnet. In the same way, my mind is somehow causally attracted to the feet of Sri Vishnu. So Sandana Mahaka, again, they became angry. They took a stick. This boy, the demons are like a forest of sandalwood, and Vishnu is like the axe to cut them down. This boy, Prahlad, is like the handle of the axe, the servant of Vishnu. So they chastised him in many ways, and again instructed him on materialistic sciences. Just like in today's modern society, you go to the colleges and universities, there is stool department, urine department, chemistry department, physics department, economics, but no soul department. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj said, the modern education system like slaughterhouse, killing people and no benefit. Just like animals enter a slaughterhouse with no knowledge, and they leave in a worse condition than they came in. Students enter the educational system, they come out in a worse position than when they entered. So Prahlad again went back to school, but he never seriously considered the materialistic instructions of his teachers. Therefore, again came term two, next holiday, Prahlad went back again. Again, Hiranyakasipu. He took his son on his lap. Oh son, tell me, what's the best thing you learned? And Prahlad Maharaj again, without any fear. Not like us, we're thinking, if I speak strongly, he won't give me a donation, then how will I move, how will I live? Prahlad Maharaj was completely fearless. He directly spoke the truth. He had no self-interest, nothing to gain from his father. So such a devotee like that can really speak Hari Katha. Prahlad Maharaj said, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Bhara Sevanam, Achanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, Iti Pum Sapita Vishnu Bhaktisthana Valakshanam Kriti Manidhi Adata Uttamam. Oh Father, the best thing I learned was Iti Pum Sapita Vishnu, one who completely surrenders to Vishnu. So Vishnu here is plural. And how there can be two Vishnus? Then one Vishnu will fight with the other. Two Vishnus means one is Visai Vishnu, Visai Bhagavan, Krishna himself. And the other one is Asra Bhagavan, Gurudev or Srimati Radhika or Sri Garadha Pandit. Actually, Bhakti is not just towards Gurudev. Bhakti is always towards Visaya, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. And Guru is that person who is completely situated in that mood of surrender and service to Sri Krishna. So first surrender, then engage the limbs of devotion. The first limb of Bhakti is Guru Padasra. Surrender to the feet of Guru. If you cannot do the first limb of Bhakti, how you can do the other 63 limbs of Bhakti? Therefore, first surrender. Who? To Guru and to Krishna. And under guidance and direction of Gurudev, one should perform Navavida Bhakti. Hearing first. Unless we hear, then we won't know how to serve. Who is Krishna or Guru? We won't know unless we hear. Therefore, hearing. And what you hear, then you should repeat. Kirtan. And what you hear and repeat, you should remember. Smaran. Engage in the service of the Lord in the temple. Offering prayers, becoming his servant, becoming his friend, and completely offering everything to Vishnu and Gurudev. One who knows these things, he knows everything. And then Hiranyakasipu, he completely popped his cork. He was completely furious. What? This boy is giving me all kind of nonsensical instructions. You think you know more than me? You think I have not done great austerities? How come you've got this knowledge and I do not have this knowledge? Then Paramatma spoke three very famous verses. Madhyena Krishna Paratostatava Apaditi Griha Pratana Madanta Gopi Visitanta Nisham Puna Punas Chavita Charanam Nati Vidu Swatri Dhammi Vishnu Durusaya Bahirata Maninas At Andariyatam Deru Paniya Manas Tapi Sri Vanda Vandraha Naisham Mati Stavaram Kuramis Anat Sri Siddhan Anat Pagavam Yarataha Mihisam Yarpara Rajovishaka Naskinchina Sya Yabrinatiya. Three very famous verses of Prahlad Maharaj. So the meaning is very long. But he said, O Father, Matiana Krishna Paratosvatova, that person who has not given their mind to Krishna, then they cannot, then those persons who have uncontrolled senses, Ananda Govir Vishatanta Nishram, their uncontrolled senses drag them towards the lower species of life. Therefore, because they have not controlled their mind and senses, their inclination towards Krishna cannot be awoken by their own efforts, by the efforts of others, or by a combination of both. And Hiranyakashipu says, you think I don't know the meaning of scripture? Hiranyakashipu was a great pundit, very much learned. He'd even pleased Lord Brahma with his austerities. And he was, you think I don't know the meaning of Shastra? And Prahlad Maharaj said, Nātikidusva ātakatambi viṣṇu durasaya pahirātimānas. O Father, you have no bhakti towards Bhagavan, therefore you cannot understand the meaning of the scripture. But here, Atimaninas, you always take the external meaning, you always take the external scriptures. Srila external meaning, Bhakti Siddhanta is of the Saraswati scriptures. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave so many nice stories in his Upakhyavali of this history. For example, you cannot understand one drop of the real meaning because they have no devotion to Guru or Bhagavan. He told a story one time. There was one pandit, so-called pandit. One Vaishnava came to one village. In that village was one so-called guru, Varadana, big guru, big fat fellow. His father was guru, his father was guru, his father was guru. This was like a family business. But actually that guru had no knowledge at all. You can find a guru who can give you mantra, you can find that type of guru anywhere. But guru who can give you prema, where you'll find that type of guru. So the Vaishnava challenged this false guru, I challenge you to Shastra, some fight with Shastra. Then big guru said, don't worry, I'll take care of him. Then all the foolish disciples, they took big guru, Bharata, on their palanquin, and they took him to the debating arena. Then the fat guru, he challenged the Vaishnava, because you are a guest in our village, please you ask the first question. Then Vaishnava asked, Kastvam. Kastvam means, who are you? Then the false guru went, Kastvam, Flastram, Mastram, Hastram, Plastram, Krastram, Smastram, Krastram. Which sounds like Sanskrit, but has no meaning at all. Plastram, Plastram, Mastram, Hastram, no meaning. That time the Vaishnava realized, this fellow is a complete idiot. Why I waste my time talking with him? So he turned away and left. That time all the foolish disciples, Jai Bada Guru, Jai Big Guru, all glory to Gurudev. Just see his answer. His answer was so powerful he could not even answer, and he left. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, when the Vaishnavas ask the very easy question, Kastvam, who are you? What do they shout? Mastram, Mastram, Mastram. But they cannot say, who am I? I am servant of Bhagavan. Therefore, they are always bewildered about the meaning of the scriptures. Therefore, Father, such a blind person, is a blind guru is like, he leads other blind disciples and both fall to hell. Tulsidas Ji said, under guru, lobi chela, doronaga, tela tela. Guru is blind. Guru is very greedy and disciple is deaf. He never hears anyway. And both run towards hell. Therefore, guru should have real devotion to the Lord, and disciples should have real devotion to Guru, then one's life is successful. Their father, those who have no knowledge, no devotion to Bhagavan, puna punas chavita chavananam, they simply chew the tube. Guru tells a funny story. Chewing the tube means what? There was one dog, Indian dog, very hungry. He found one chicken bone. and he dug it up. That chicken bone was maybe 20 years old, no juice was there at all. So that dog, because he was so hungry, he was chewing the bone. That bone was so hard, it was cutting his gums and lips. And that dog, because he was so hungry, he was sucking the bone and drinking his own blood and thinking that bone is very nice. So the other dogs, they saw, I mean, this guy has a bone, we do not have a bone. Therefore they began chasing him, and the dog was and the others were following him and pounding him. The dog was in so much distress that he dropped the bone. As soon as he dropped the bone, he felt so much relief. But then what happened? Another dog, he picked up the bone and he began running, then the other 49 means what? Our parents married. So much suffering, so much misery. And just before they died, what order they gave the children? You should marry me. They dropped the bone. When the children, they pick up the bone and they were so much suffering, so much misery. Just before they die, what did they say? You have to marry, don't disobey me. They drop the bone. Then they pick it up. Puna, punas, chavita, chavanam. Even though our parents so much suffered in material life, working like dogs. I mean, thank you, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So much they worked, they could not be happy. They could not find any satisfaction, but again they forced their children to do the same thing. Puna punas chavita chavanam. And famous last verse of this three. O Father, you could not understand because you never surrendered to any pure Vaishnava. Niskinchanasya na brinintiyama. You never surrendered and put the foot dust of any pure Vaishnava on your head. Therefore, you could not become free from unwanted desires. Therefore, you could not understand the goal of life. Prahlada Hiranyakashipu completely burst. He went nuts. Oh, he said, you are like a diseased finger. Sometimes a finger is diseased, you have to amputate it. Even though this boy is my son, he is like a disease. He will kill me, the whole body. Therefore, he should be killed in any way. He ordered the demons. Finish him, chop him, burn him. The demons came and tried to kill him in many ways. Prahlad never prayed like we do. Hey Bhagavan, save us. Only he remembered Krishna completely. Therefore Bhagavan saved him in every way. He threw him under the feet of elephants. He gave him poison, put him in fire, tried to chop him with chainsaws and axes. But Prahlad was completely unaffected. Hiranyakashipu became devastated. I tried my best. I could not kill him. This boy is unlimitedly powerful. He will definitely be the cause of my death. Then Sandamaka, the two gurus, Sanda. Sanda means bull. Amarka, no sunlight, blind. Because bull, he's big and fat, and he moves everywhere, passing still. So many so-called teachers like that. No, I'm in her high school, so many of them. And Amarka, completely blind, no knowledge at all. Therefore they said, oh king, don't worry, this boy is very young. He's like a green piece of bamboo. We can easily make him into first-class king and politician. Therefore, don't take his words so seriously. Again, they brought him to school, and they gave him all type of materialistic instructions. Then Prahlad was also an expert cheater, if I may say. Guru Mahārāj says, if you want to do bhajan, you have to become very crooked also. How to cheat the common persons. Like Mahaprabhu told you, Raghunath Goswami, Ante kore nishloka kore vyavaha, acharitave paris krishna tumare uddha. Don't show your devotion outside too much. There's a saying in Bengali, Oti bhakti cho lakshan. Too much devotion is sign of a thief. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, chukcha. He tolerated everything. The teachers had so much confidence. Oh, Prahlad, you please, we are going outside, something doing. You please take care of the students. And all the students began laughing and joking. Prahlad said, don't play now. Now is not the time for wasting time. Now is the time for bhajan. Prahlad said, no, now is not the time for wasting time. The boy said, what do you mean? Now we can play, and when we're old age and in the wheelchair, then Hare Ram, Hare Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj said, no. Because life should be, bhajan should be practiced from 5 years old. Sometimes parents think we should let our children play Xbox until they're 18, then they can do bhajan. But then those children never do bhajan. Bhajan should be done from early age. Therefore, don't give birth to children unless you instruct your children on Hari Bhajan. Otherwise, if it gives birth to so many children, what benefit? From the age of 5, children should be instructed. So, we only live 100 years, and 50 years we lose by sleep. Some of us more. 50 years we lose by sleeping. In old age, 80 to 20, you cannot even, 80 to 100, you cannot even eat mashed potato. You cannot do anything. 20 years lost in old age. 10 years is nappies and potty training. 10 years going to school. 20 years lost in that. 10 years. In 10 years, what are you going to do? 10 years, you have to get married, you have to become educated, run a business, put your children through school. And when are you going to chant the holy name? Therefore, Prahlad gave so many valuable instructions to his demonic, to his school children. Then he said, famous instruction, what was it? Guru Susu Saya Bhakta Saralabda Padenacha Sangena Sarabhakta Nami Swara Alada Nenacha. All boys, you should begin devotion by completely offering everything to Guru. That means offering ourselves. If we offer ourselves to Guru, automatically everything we have belongs to Guru. Otherwise, I give donations to Guru, but I don't give myself to Guru. This is not called completely offering everything to the spiritual master. Therefore, first completely offer everything to Guru. Sarva Radhava Nenacha. And everything you possess, you should offer him. What does Guru come here for? Has Guru descended from Goloka Vrindavan to collect donations? What does he want from us? What is that thing he's looking? That is our independence. That is the real gift, the real dakshin to the spiritual master. Therefore, one should surrender everything to Guru because he is the representative of the Supreme Lord. And Guru will instruct you. Is sarana, sarana sangha bhattanam. The Guru will instruct you how to do Vaishnava seva. How to do association with Vaishnava and Ishvara Aradhanacha. How to perform worship of the Supreme Lord, beginning with hearing and chanting. The boys became very much impressed by Prahlad's words. Oh Prahlad, please tell us how we can do devotion. Prahlad said very easily, simply by chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So all the boys began chanting the name. Hirani Kashmir became very angry. What's going on here? Stop that right here! Didn't he say that to Maharaj? What did he say? Okay, here is the dean. Thank you, Maharaj. Okay, we need a demon here. Maharaj, can you do the honor? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And my strength, and everyone's strength, that is Lord Vishnu. And he's everywhere. He's all pervading. He will save the devotee.
Oh, really? Your Lord Vishnu is going to save you, huh? Well, then tell me. Where is that Lord Vishnu who's going to come and save you when I raise my powerful fist to cut off your head?
I hope he's in that pillar there.
Oh, really? He's in this pillar over here. Let me test and see if your God will be able to save you in this pillar over here. Where's my sword? Okay. So if your God is in this pillar, let's just see if what you're saying
last words?
Oh, wait a minute now. This is not fair. Lord Brahma gave me benedictions. So, he gave me the benediction that I couldn't be killed on the land, on the sea, or in the air. What's going on here?
I accept all the benedictions of Lord Brahma intact. I have killed you on my lap, not in the land, the sea, or the air. I have killed you not in the day or the night, but in twilight. I have killed you not in the house or outside of the house, but on the veranda. And I have not killed you in any year. I have killed you without any weapons also, but with my hands. In this way, I have killed you and kept all the benedictions of Lord Brahma intact. You are now finished. After Grand Kasturba's disappearance festival, Prasanna Sena was very angry because he is the Supreme Lord. He manifested unlimited anger. All the demigods headed by Brahma and Shiva and Lakshmi, they were afraid to approach him, such as his intensity of anger. So finally, Prahlad asked Prahlad, please satisfy your Lord. And Prahlad Maharaj lay on the lap of Rani Kasipu, on the Srinidad, without any fear at all. That time, Srinidad Bhagavan began greeting him out of parental affection and asked, "Oh Prahlad, please choose a benediction." Then Prahlad Maharaj's answer is very famous. So many stars and stutis he offered, more than 80 or 90 verses. If you read so much Tattva Siddhanta, Prahlad gave his prayers. He said, "Oh Lord, I am not a businessman. I am not a song. I am not serving you for some benefit in exchange for my service. Therefore that you deserve, you think that I desire any material thing, this is a shame for me. Therefore please bless me that I will have no material desires." Then Bhagavan Srinidhar said, "Prahlad, I know you have no desire, but for my happiness, please choose a benediction." Then Prahlad Maharaj, he asked for the benediction. "My father must have committed many offences to you, then please forgive him." Then the Srinidhar said, Bhagavan Srinidhar said, "He is already forgiven, he has already achieved the supreme destination because of his attachment to you. Therefore please choose one benediction." Then Prahlad Maharaj, famously, he prayed, "I am not interested in my own liberation. I am only worried for the fools and rascals who have forgotten you. Because anywhere I am, I can remember you and feel transcendental bliss. I have no anxiety. Therefore, please, I choose the benediction that I will take the sins of all living entities and I will go to hell and they may all achieve your lotus feet." Then the Srinidhar Bhagavan, his heart completely melted. "Prahlad, that is impossible. But instead I give the benediction. Anyone who hears these pastimes of my appearance and your glories, that person will achieve me. Others not." Bhagavan Srinidhar ki jai.